All right, I'm gonna get this out of the way right away. I'm gonna extend a word of just, I don't even know if it's sorrow or like a hand in like comfort to all Raider fans out there, because to have the first Super Bowl in Vegas be between the 49ers and the Chiefs is disgusting.
Not even the first Super Bowl, first playoff game, period.
That's also true. It's just horrible. That it's such a bad taste in my mouth. So,
and it's an AFC stadium, so that means the Chiefs are the home team,
right,
in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. They're a home team in the Death Star before the Raiders are, and that's just so sad and so gross for so many reasons. I'm just going to get all of like my quick fandom stuff out of the way real quick. I hate the Chiefs. I hate their faces. I hate their uniforms. I hate their voices. I hate their coaches. Everything that exists about the Chiefs. Just bleh. I'm so tired of these guys. I don't know actually if I – do I hate the Warriors more than I hate the Chiefs? I don't know. Ooh. That's tough. That's really close, actually. I'll tell you what. My two favorite teams next year are going to be the Chargers and the Raiders, because I need the Chargers to knock the Chiefs out of the divisional lead, and I think they'll have a better chance of doing it next year than the Raiders will, and the Raiders are going to be my favorite team just because they're my favorite team. So go Chargers and go Raiders next year, because I'm done with these guys. I'm just done with them.
All that being said, you're a big Niner fan this next weekend.
Yes, I needed to get that out of the way. That was my unprofessionalism that I'm letting it out right now. I need to get it out of my system before we continue. I'm done with these guys. Also, for anybody hating on Taylor Swift, what is she doing wrong? That like she's not doing anything wrong. Like, I don't understand the Taylor Swift hate. I really don't. She's just watching the game like everybody else. Like, blame the networks. She's not doing anything wrong. I'm
ridiculous.
Tired of seeing that as well.
Ridiculous.
I know. I'm tired of seeing that. That's just – I don't understand that in the slightest.
It's got to be, like, coming from jealousy.
Maybe. You think?
Yeah. I mean, Travis Kelce, he's got to be, like, the perfect human at this point.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I'm speaking as someone that watched maybe 50 different angles of that post game celebration that Travis Kelce had with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And the many upon many transcribed like scripts of his conversation with her, of the proclamation of their love in front of the world. Oh man, I saw it all.
I heard somebody hypothesizing that, what if he proposed to her if they win the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think that's right.
I was like, no way. 4 months? Hell no. Let's not with that. That's not going to happen. And what's also not going to happen is we're not going to spend any more time on Taylor Swift, because there were so many things that came out of these two games. I don't even honestly know where to begin. You could pick either
one. Oh, I got you, dude.
Huh?
You ready?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you want to lead? Go.
We talked about it a little bit, I think, last week. Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm, and his legacy. Where actually is he? Did anyone really believe that he was going to get it done and get the Ravens to the Super Bowl?
I'll tell you what, I think a lot of people did. The Ravens, I think conventional wisdom heading into this game was that the Ravens were going to win, because of the defense and because of the way that the Ravens had played all year long offensively. But that's the key phrase right there, all year long. All year long would mean that in this game they would actually run the football. So that, and in this game, I don't know, I actually stopped listening to a couple of sports talk shows that I normally listen to, because I didn't want to like have their thoughts be mine. Like, I wanted to hear sort of the initial reaction on Monday, but I didn't listen to anything today because I didn't want to like it to like intermingle with what I was thinking. But tell me if you were thinking the same thing that I was. I think everybody at this point has heard the stat that like outside of Lamar Jackson rushing 8 times for 56 yards, the running backs only carried the ball 6 times.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, like 5.
In the entire game. I believe that was the lowest amount in Lamar Jackson's career with the Ravens. Interesting time to do that, but I digress. It seemed to me that either one of two things was happening. Either he was trying to prove that he could win this game from the pocket, or the coaching staff just told him, don't run. Because in no world on Monday, January 29th, should we be having a conversation about Brock Purdy winning the game for the 49ers because he ran, and Lamar Jackson not winning the game for the Ravens because he didn't run. That is not a world that I expected us to be living in, and here we are. It was very strange. It seemed like there were plenty of opportunities for Lamar to take off and run because he does it better than anybody else in the league, probably better than half the running backs in the league, and he just refused to do it, and I didn't understand why. Like I said, the only two explanations that I could come up with was he was trying to prove something or the coaches told him not to, which doesn't make any sense because if you all remember from the previous week, Buffalo, I think, ran it for 500 bazillion yards on the Chiefs last
week. Is that accurate? That's an accurate stat?
Let's say 182 yards last week on the Chiefs defense. How can you watch that game and go, now we're not going to do that?
It's mind-boggling. I think, well, the Chiefs did get off to a hot start in that game, scoring on their two first possessions, took off, what, a combined 15 minutes time of possession with just two possessions, pretty much took the whole first half with their two drives.
Yeah.
And maybe the urgency was felt. It's like patience went out the window for Baltimore. It was like, no, we got to answer. We got to set the tone here. And, man, they just looked like a really immature team that whole game. They completely got outclassed. They looked – honestly, they looked like they hadn't looked all year. All year they looked in control. And this last Sunday was just a complete anomaly at the worst time.
So I'm trying to find the games in which the Ravens, like, had low-scoring games. And I'm trying to, like, this season and trying to at least get somewhat of a comparison. Because I understand what you're saying. Like, okay, we're down quickly. Maybe we got to strike first. But that – even in the games where they played poorly this year, they still never abandoned the run. Like in the Indianapolis game, they were losing going into halftime. They still ended up running the ball. Let's see. Lamar ran it for 14 times. Gus Edwards ran it 11. Melvin Gordon ran it 10. Zay Flowers ran it once. And Kenyon Drake ran it once. Lamar had over 100 yards rushing in that game on 14 carries. They ran the ball over 30 times in that game. So it's one of those things where that's just – it's – you know what they did? They did the opposite of what Dan Campbell did. Dan Campbell, the argument that I hear, at least in terms of – at least in defense of Dan Campbell for the games, is that, well, going forward on fourth down, that's who they've been all year. Well, all year, the Ravens have been a running team. And instead of sticking to their guns and dying by that, they just decided we're going to abandon that completely. And then we get here the next day after the games and everybody is shouting from the rooftop, why are you not running the ball? I think it's interesting. I wonder if Dan Campbell, and maybe it would be different because I think with the Lions and 49ers game, it was those fourth downs maybe were more dramatic in terms of shaping the outcome of the game. But I wonder what the thought process would be if the Lions still would have lost that game and Dan Campbell would have abandoned the identity of the team, which is going for it on those like fourth and shorts. Mm-hmm. The complete opposite of what Dan Campbell did. They were not themselves. And it was so clear. They just seemed like, I don't even know what the right word is. Like confused doesn't feel like the right way to describe it. What was the word you used?
What?
to describe the Ravens, like you used, what was it? It wasn't undisciplined. You said it like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, well, I think it was, I mean, it was an anomaly. They were uncontrolled, I guess. Yeah, I don't remember the exact
to describe it. I don't know. It's weird. Like
if you play that game 100 times, does the play calling come out to be that? Like that's the only way that we could really rationalize it, right? Like that was the game plan. That was the game plan going in. Like, oh, we need to establish Lamar. And then they just completely, like, it's baffling to me that no one on the coaching staff was like, or no players were like, maybe we should try running the ball. Maybe we haven't done it a lot in this game. Let's try it.
Yeah. I didn't understand. And as weird as it is to say, because they were never up in the game, it almost feel like Baltimore just gave the game away. You know, like, They had the a couple unsportsmanlike conduct plays. One of them with the whole Zay Flowers taunting thing. So shocked that whoever he did that celebration on didn't get up and like clock him, because that was one of the most blatant in your face celebrations I've ever seen. Now, we could have a separate conversation on whether or not that should be allowed or not. That's not what I'm saying. In the context of the current rule, that is so far over the line of the current written rules that I just can't even believe you do that in a game where you've had zero momentum. You're down at, what were they at? Like the 10-yard line?
Yep. Down 14.
Yeah. And so there was that. And then there were a couple other unsportsmanlike conduct plays. And then there was the fumble at the goal line. Like, it just felt like they gave the game to the Chiefs, even though they were never up. It just felt like they were like, here you go. Here you go. Every like couple series, it was just like, eh, we'll throw you a bone. It's like, but you guys are down.
So do you subscribe to the thinking that like quarterback playoff wins, like quarterback wins? I think that's like the biggest thing. A quarterback's starting record is thrown out as either a positive or in some ways a way to diminish a player's value in the league. Do you subscribe to that thinking? Because, of course, it's not just solely on the quarterback to get a win.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because I was listening to Greeny this week and they were having this exact conversation, saying that, like, history is not going to remember this as, like, a Ravens coaching game. History is going to remember this as Lamar Jackson didn't win the game. And they were making the argument that, like, hey, let's do better today. Like, let's do better and put some qualifiers behind this. Usually, no, I'm not. I think I don't blame last week's game on Josh Allen. You know what I mean? Like, he played.
I don't know, man.
Well, it's there are too many things that happen throughout a football game for me to just put it on one player, unless that player so clear and obviously makes gigantic mistakes that really cost them the game. I mean, Josh threw 486 yards, had a touchdown, ran 12 times, had two. He counted for 3 touchdowns in that game. I don't know. It's really tough for me to say that, like, that game was on him. It's tough for me to solely say this game is on Lamar, especially when it just feels like the play calling was so not helpful to Lamar in any way.
Yeah, I get, but at the end of the day, he is now 2-4 in the playoffs with being a number one seed in 2 of those 4 appearances in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And not getting it done, making the Super Bowl. And I think this one to me really stands out. We can go back and look at, oh yeah, the coaching decisions and everything, but roster wise, Baltimore had all the advantages.
Yes, but at the end of the day, like, Lamar's not the one only calling 6 rushes during this game.
But you could even say, like, they put it more in Lamar's hands as the QB, as the playmaker.
They did, but that hasn't been their identity this entire year. That's what I'm saying. Like, yes, he makes brilliant plays, but at the end of the day, they're still a run-heavy team, and they completely went away from that.
Like, are we going to be looking at Lamar as a James Harden type, a Joel Embiid type, a player that has incredible regular seasons but can't carry a team to the Super Bowl? I mean, he's 2-4. He has one more win than Jordan Love and CJ Stroud, who are practically rookies. He has less playoff wins than Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy. He's got, the same amount of playoff wins as Baker Mayfield. He's got less playoff wins than Jared Goff. Like, there are, I'm just throwing it out there. There's, of course, if we go game by game, but within those four losses, we could say, oh yeah, I could rationalize why Baltimore lost those games. But the thing that is there, the factor that is constant, is the fact that Lamar Jackson is starting in this game. I think that's what he said, that when you talk about Josh Allen and the fact that he's had some bad luck in the playoffs, yeah, we can go to that. But there is something to the fact that a player like Patrick Mahomes is able to find a way to get a win, and Josh Allen, for some reason, isn't able to do that.
Yeah. No, I can't disagree with you. That's fair. I'm looking back at these games. I'm trying to find a game in which Lamar, like, how often he, it would take me a little bit longer to do it, so I'm not going to dive to it. I was trying to find how many times he threw the ball more than 35 times this year, because I was looking at their most recent game, because you had made a comment that in a way they put this game more in Lamar's hands. Well, in the game where they scored 56 points against the Dolphins, who were still playing for a playoff spot at that point, yep. and I believe Baltimore was playing for the number one seed at that point, Lamar only threw the ball 21 times. They still ran the ball over 30 times, and they put up 56 points. So, like, you have a game where Lamar throws the ball less than 25 times, you run it 30 times, and you put up 56 points. That's obviously one game where they put up 56 points, and you can't, like, necessarily extrapolate that throughout an entire season. But I'm trying to – where's their – quickly. Okay, so the Lions game that they had this year, mm-hmm. Lamar threw the ball, they scored 38 points, and the Lions scored 6. Lamar only threw the ball 27 times.
Well, you're talking about blowouts where the game was over at halftime.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is, like, in the games where they were playing their best, Lamar, like, the run game and Lamar's passing were about equal every time. And in the games where they were playing at their absolute best. So to have such a big disproportion between – Lamar threw the ball 37 times.
Yep.
And they ran the ball – I mean, Lamar ran it 8 on his own, so I'm not necessarily counting those. They ran the ball because Zay Flowers ran it twice. They ran it 8 times. I don't know how much of that is on Lamar from the standpoint of, like, the identity of the team has been one thing the entire year, and to completely go away from that, I just don't get that at all. Now, you could make the argument that, look, that's not necessary. Like, yes, that's on coaching, but it's Lamar's job to figure it out and win them the game. Okay, I can't disagree with you, but in the context of this game, I do think it needs to be stated that, like, this is just not who the Ravens are and have been. So that has to play into account how you're judging Lamar in this game, because it just – you can't – I don't understand how anybody couldn't.
Yeah, I think it's – so you're – if we're going to place blame, it's going to be on the coaching staff?
I'd say it's probably like 50-50. Like, it does –
it's on Harbaugh?
I think it's an equal share. Like 50 – like, this is a game where it feels like a 50-50 thing.
Now, Lamar, like, didn't play well.
He didn't play amazing, but again, I mean,
he didn't play well.
Okay. but again, it's one of those things where how much of that can we attribute to him not playing well, or the team not establishing any kind of run, which means all they're going to do is pass.
But I mean, Mahomes attempted like just as many. I think he attempted what, 39? So 39. He attempted two more, and he's still able to have more success in terms of completion percentage.
But they also ran the ball 32 times. So
yeah, so it goes back to that time of possession thing. I really think it's a big urgency that Baltimore had. I'm not condoning the action. I'm just saying maybe that was a part of it.
The time of possession was wild. The Ravens only had the ball for 22 minutes. The Chiefs had the ball for 37 minutes.
Yeah, so we could see Taylor a little more.
Yeah, the time of possession was wild. Was wild.
I'm just saying, if we're going to look back on this, like if next season Baltimore comes out, wins 14 games in the regular season, the biggest storyline is going to be Lamar Jackson ? In the playoffs.
Yeah, but if they win 14 games, I guarantee you it's not going to be because Lamar's throwing the ball 35 times a game.
Well, he's an MVP. Like, oh, I don't know, man. Putting the ball in your MVP's hands, a part of me is like, does he not have the power to check into a run?
But yes, you are putting the ball in the hands of your MVP. But that MVP wins you games differently than other MVPs do. So if that is the case, then why did it seem like he was handcuffed the entire game? I don't know who that's on. I don't know if that's on coaching.
Maybe he couldn't read the defense.
Maybe Spagnuolo is just the greatest defensive mind ever. I don't know. And you know what? Spagnuolo is definitely up there for one of the best defensive coordinators ever.
He's having a hell of a run.
Yeah, but again, I have no explanation as to why it seemed like he just refused to run. Whether or not that was on him or whether or not that was on coaching, I don't know. And that's fine if you want to put the ball in your MVP's hands. Go ahead and do it. But this MVP wins you games differently than other MVPs do. So to not lean into that strength for whatever reason, I don't understand. Lamar isn't going to win the MVP this year because he threw 50 touchdowns. He's going to win the MVP this year because he threw a bunch of touchdowns, had a high completion percentage, and he ran all over the place and ran for a bunch of touchdowns as well. Just because he's just a weapon on offense who can throw the football. He is a quarterback weapon.
I mean, when you actually look at his stats this season, it's not crazy MVP worthy.
I don't think anybody. I think part of the reason that he's going to win it is also because nobody really had it in like an eye-popping season.
Whoa, wait. After this disappointing game, and I think voters already voted, so this might not matter.
Yeah.
If the Niners go on to win the Super Bowl with, again, Christian McCaffrey is the MVP of that team. Should he not have been the MVP this year?
You and I had talked about that before. I was totally fine. You and I were both totally fine if they gave CMC the...
I just don't think it should be a quarterback this year.
Well, again, this is a regular season award, so the playoffs aren't going to have anything to do with it.
Yeah, but 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 3,600 yards.
Look, I'm with you.
A completion percentage of 67. Like, there was... throwing the ball, there was probably 8 guys that had better passing years than Lamar Jackson did this year.
I'm with you. I would be totally fine with CMC winning the MVP. Not an issue at all.
And then if we're going to be like, oh, well, Lamar's rushing numbers. Well, Christian McCaffrey is a running back, so he had better rushing numbers than Lamar Jackson.
Well, duh. Bro.
He could. Kyle needs to come up with a package. Where CMC's throwing it up to George Kittle.
He probably could.
Oh, no, throws it to Juszczyk for an easy touchdown. That'd be the running back connection.
Oh, yeah. Well, since you brought it up.
So are we done? We're done with that boring game?
Yeah, we'll just be done with it. I'm tired of the Chiefs. I don't care. All right, let's go to the Niners-Lions game. You start. This is your team. You go.
No, I want you to start.
All right. I don't know. Again, same thing. Same thing with the Lions. The first half, they were just absolutely bludgeoning the 49ers on the ground.
Torching them.
And literally, it looked like the 49ers had no chance.
It's like they didn't practice the whole week.
Right. Like the first half, I legitimately thought the Niners were going to lose by three touchdowns. I was like, this, there's no way they're going to come back from this. All the Lions are doing is just running all over the 49ers. And if they can't figure this, if they, like, it's one of those things where, like, you knew after the first quarter that the Lions were just going to keep running it. Like, everybody knew that. It was blatantly obvious. It was working every single play. They brought the Penei Sewell. They brought him out as a tight end, and we're just running these awesome packages with him motioning all around the backfield. There was nothing the 49ers can do. It was so blatantly obvious they were just going to keep running. And I was like, okay, well, the 49ers are, like, doomed now. Keep doing this in the third quarter. There's nothing they can do about it. The Lions aren't even hiding the fact that they're running the ball. They're bringing in an offensive lineman as a tight end. They're not even trying to disguise the fact that they're going to run the football. So this is a bad sign for the Niners. And then in the second half, no more running. And I just don't understand why. I didn't understand why they abandoned the run that way. I believe their split, I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I believe the numbers in terms of what it was split between run and pass in the first half where the Lions was like 21 to 20 or something like that. Like, it was very close. And then in the second half, it was way more pass heavy. It was like 70 or 75% pass and 25% run. It was ridiculous, which is so weird because every time you have a lead in the NFL, all you ever hear people say is just keep running the ball because you want the clock to keep moving. And they just stop doing it. And for the explanation for that, I don't have. But
I mean, I do.
So here's the other thing too. And that was really the Lions thing. Brock Purdy won you guys that game. That second half that he played was he was so good. He was so good in the second half. And there was a run that he had. I think he took off from like the 35 or something. He picked up like 20 yards. I legitimately thought he was like hunting a linebacker or hunting a safety. Somebody needs to tell that dude to slide. When he was running so fast and so hard. I thought he was looking to truck somebody. Like I was like, dude, he's got juice right now. This is the second or third run he's had. He's going to go hit somebody. And thankfully he didn't. But there was one run where I was like, he looks like McCaffrey right now. He's going to go kill somebody. He played great in the second half. That was an outstanding game by Purdy.
Well, he owed us one because he did not play well in the first half.
No, he did not. So give me your thoughts on your team.
I'll give you the quarter by quarter, I guess, reaction. Went to a bar with friends, full of Niner fans. We went to this bar.
Was it the place we tried to go to last week?
No, it wasn't. It was a different place.
Okay.
So we were watching Detroit scores, probably the easiest touchdown they've ever had all year. Yep. That looked like the easiest drive. Three plays, had a 45-yard run. Okay. I was like, okay, kind of fluky. Four plays, 75 yards. Let's just see what happens. Niners put a drive together, miss a field goal. My worst nightmares are coming true. Jake Moody is unraveling. A rookie kicker is unraveling right before our eyes. Then, boom, Lions have a quintessential Lions drive, big play, running a lot, score a touchdown up 14 zip. Niners put one back. McCaffrey is just coming off the page. It's like even in games where the Niners aren't playing well, Chris McCaffrey is still playing well.
Yeah.
Like there are so many, even like the NFC Championship game last year, Chris McCaffrey had a great game, even though his entire team around him was getting injured. Interception comes after that, so we're still at 14-7. Then a Detroit touchdown, then a three and out, and then Detroit settles for that field goal. But they're going up and down the field on the Niners.
Oh yeah.
Niners start out well at that point, 24-7. I am so focused on this game As soon as it hits halftime, I can like exhale a little bit, but it's 24/7. Look around. I think me and my friend Charlie, who you know, we're the only two Niner fans in the entire bar. Everyone else is left. And we're like, okay, let's get an order over here. We need to turn this around somehow. But of course, we're not leaving, right? I'm a Kings fan. We're Kings fans. We're tougher than that. Niners coming back, field goal, settling for that field goal is tough. But if you look in this second half, first off, everything had to go perfectly for the Niners to get this game back in hand. Yeah. I think the Niners had the ball for 20 minutes in the second half, time of possession wise. Mm-hmm. So we talk about like, oh, why didn't Detroit run the ball more? I just don't think they really had an opportunity to. They had really the only time they could, because of course they had after the Niners scored to get it to 17-24, they fumble on the first play when they decided to run the ball, which was amazing. Then the Niners go and score, and then three and out for Detroit. They run the ball, get nothing, and boom. So they've had the ball for about 5 minutes in the second half, and now the Niners already have it again, looking to tie it up, boom, get the lead with the field goal. And then this next drive where Detroit is down by three, they go pass, run, pass, a lot of passes. They only had one run in that six-play drive where they ended up going for it when Goff hit Reynolds mm-hmm. wide open and it clanked off his man, nope. Josh Reynolds really had a tough day.
Picked
him.
Picked a bad day to have a bad game.
Yeah, it's just Lions doing Lions type things. Boom, Niners go down, take 4 or 5 minutes off the clock, score another touchdown. I look up, it's like, holy cow, the Niners are covering this game somehow.
Yeah.
How are the Niners up 10 in this game? And then, of course, it's pretty much over from there. So it's like we can gripe about Detroit and their decision-making. I just think the Niners played probably a perfect half.
Well, they played a perfect half, and they got a little bit lucky.
Of course.
So
do you want to talk about the fourth down calls?
Well, yeah. So so the first one, right? The one where it's fourth and three. Goff puts it on Reynolds. He just drops it. It wasn't the perfect pass, but as a wide receiver, that's a pass you should catch 10 times out of 10 times. The Lions, I didn't mind them going for it the first time, the fourth and three. That was very in keeping with who they were. They weren't I know that at that point they could probably guarantee 3 points, but the Lions had gone for it on fourth and three 25 times throughout the year, and they got it 20 times. That mm-hmm. was an 80% play for them all year. At that point, honestly, I don't think there's any reason for them not to go for it. And you know what? It worked.
Good play call.
Yeah, it was a good call. It was a good throw. They just dropped it. Like, so that's one of those things where, like, sure, you can sit there and say they shouldn't have gone for it. It's like, well, why? Because they dropped the ball? Like, you're not counting on anybody on dropping the ball. On the things that you're accounting for going wrong on that play, it's like, throwing an interception, getting a sack, mishandling the snap, any number of things before you get to the player dropping a good pass. Like, yep. That is very low on the list. So you can't
plan for that.
Yeah, you can't. That's not in your list of things that is going to happen. It was the right play call. It honestly probably was the right call. And if they get it, that probably ends the game because yep. They're moving down the field easily at that point. They're probably going to score a touchdown, and then that game's over. So I don't mind that first one. And then before we get to the last one, that drop started a series of back-to-back-to-back plays for the Niners that just absolutely, like, fell in their lap. Like, the drop pass, boom, okay. Huge momentum shift for the 49ers. Take advantage of that. The next series for them, the doink off the helmet, just in the perfect spot that Ayuk can catch it. wow, okay, that's one in a million, but you know what? That's just kind of how it goes sometimes. And then the very next play, Jahmyr Gibbs has fumbled, or the very next play, for the offensive play for the Lions. He's fumbled one time this year, once. One time. And then boom, you get a fumble on the first play right at like the 10-yard line. And then so the series of events that had to play out for the – yes, they had to play a perfect half, but they also had so many things go their way. It was just ridiculous how quickly it flipped.
Yeah, it took a total of like about 3 minutes for that game to be Niners down 14 to that game tied.
Yeah, I think literally in game time, it was like 8 minutes had gone by on the clock. And it went from 24-7 to, what was it, like 27-24 or something like that? Like just immediately. It was unbelievable how quickly that changed. Yep. Natalie and I were talking about it because she was actually talking about the game being a blowout. And then literally 8 minutes later, I was like, well, not anymore. Like it was so fast. And then the second fourth down call, I don't know. I get it. I get the defending of Dan Campbell and the whole, like, that's who they've been all year. But I think the second one would have been the one to go for the field goal on
to tie it.
Yeah, to tie it. That would have been the one to go for it. And I honestly, the worst call was probably running the ball with a minute left when they're like a few yards from the goal line.
Yep. Calling a timeout.
That one was probably worse, I think, than any of the fourth down calls. But I think at that point, you've had zero momentum in the second half. None. It's one of those things, like, the best analogy that I could make is when you're playing basketball and you've missed a bunch of shots, you're just kind of hoping that you get fouled so you can go to the free throw line. So you can just see one go in. And I think for the Lions, that was their free throw that they needed to take. Just to be like, okay, we can still do this. Like, we got one on the board.
Yeah.
We got three. So, to me, That free throw was their field goal as I switched them both, but I did that intentionally. Vice versa, you know what I mean?
Yeah. To me, I think we get on coaches all the time for coaching not to lose.
Yeah.
And Dan Campbell in this game was coaching to win.
He was.
So if I was a fan of Detroit, I wouldn't be mad, because if they get one or two of those fourth down plays to convert, that game is over and Detroit automatically wins.
Yeah.
Like, so many things had to go right for the Niners to win this game.
Yeah.
And to me, the fact that Dan Campbell was like, okay, I'm putting it on my offense that has played so well in this game. And obviously has been carving up this Niner defense.
Yeah.
Again, like, the second one was kind of tough. At that point, right, like, momentum is really not in their favor. But that first one, guy was open.
That would have ended the game, right? I mean,
ball delivered. Yeah, at that point, it was still a 14-point game.
And I get the argument, too, of, like, kick the field goal there, and then it becomes a three-possession game. Well, I don't think you can think that way because that's an 80% play for them all year. Like, I'll take those odds.
Well, and that one was pretty low risk. Because, like, even if you're saying worst case scenario, they turn the ball over on downs, which they did. Niners go down and score. Okay, you still have a 7-point lead, and you're getting the ball back. The fact that they fumbled directly after, I guess, kind of amplifies that decision. But that decision in the moment is pretty low risk.
I agree.
You know, because you can't lose – the lead at that point. They didn't think, oh yeah, we're going to hand the ball off like we've been doing all game to get that success, and it's going to get stuffed. Not only stuffed, but our big time rookie running back is going to fumble the ball and Sacramento native Eric Armstead is going to jump all over it.
Right.
I mean, that was a good 5 minutes for Sacramento. You have Armstead recovering that fumble, and you have Ayuk catching that big bomb and touchdown.
There you go.
It's like, oh, okay. There Bay you Area, go. Let's get a team to Sacramento.
Well, we have one.
No, I'm talking about a football team.
I don't know if we need one.
Where
would you put the stadium? That's what I want to know.
Put it in like Vacaville. Put it in Woodland.
Oh, Vacaville.
Put it like right next to the airport, right on 5.
Right next to the airport. Why not?
You know what? Let's close the dump down and let's just build an arena right on top of the dump.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, you could walk to the stadium.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, here we go. 49ers Chiefs again. So before we sort of talk about that game, because it we're going to have obviously another show before that game. Yep. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about it. So, but I do have an interesting article that's right here from NFL.com, and it's just 5 questions heading into the Chiefs Niners Super Bowl. And I think some of these are pretty interesting. So we don't have to dive too deeply into it because really today is about reacting to, you know, the previous weekend's games. But obviously, you know, it is the Super Bowl and it's coming. So here are the 5 questions for you. So we can just kind of spend like maybe a minute or two on each. But
can we say one thing though?
Yeah.
Can I add the floor a little bit? Because I think there needs to be some like vindication coming.
Shoot.
This, I don't know, story, this theme, this snowball that has happened that Kyle Shanahan can't coach a team and play call to come back. I think we can safely say that's just not true anymore.
Yeah.
What he's done in back-to-back games against Green Bay and against Detroit, two really hot teams, being able to come back in those ways and really just coach his ass off. Like, he's easily a top 3 coach in the NFL right now.
Yes.
Right? Like, actually, Coward did a ranking. I think he put Shanahan at 5, but he put like Sean McVay and I think John Harbaugh ahead of him. I was just like, no, that's just not right.
Who realistically would be ahead of him right now? Would Dan Campbell be ahead of him right now?
God, no.
Okay, well, I don't know if it's that easy to say no.
No, it's pretty easy. Like, Shanahan's gone to 2 Super Bowls. Well, he's going to be going to his 3rd Super Bowl.
Yes. He's also been doing it a lot longer.
I think that's part of it.
So he has more opportunity. Campbell, in his 3 years, took a team that was literally awful, just beyond awful, to the NFC Championship game in 3 years. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, I mean, Tomlin?
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. Like, now?
You're going to be biased towards your guy.
Would you rather have, if both guys were available for the Raiders, would you rather have Kyle Shanahan or Bill Belichick coach the Raiders next year?
Kyle.
Right? Like, you got to – what have you done for me lately?
Kind of, yeah. I'm also taking into account that like Bill wouldn't be probably a multi-year thing.
Would you rather have Vrabel or Shanahan?
Shanahan.
Yeah, well, you just keep going down the line.
I think I would take Tomlin.
Oof, I think that's a mistake.
Well, that's fine.
I think you take Reed.
Yeah.
Though we don't know what he looks like without Patrick Mahomes, Shanahan's doing it with Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Mullins, and Brock Purdy.
Andy Reid had plenty of good seasons in Philadelphia.
Is that your back?
No, this is a hairpin. Well, I mean, I don't want to sit here and just have dead air with no coaches coming to mind.
Well, I'm just saying he's got to be respected a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Top 5, for sure.
We got to stop this. Oh, Kyle Shanahan is like perfect circumstances to win. Yeah, because they game plan that way.
Right.
It's not his fault. And they win a lot of games. That was the stupid part of that. Oh, he's 0-29 in games that he's down a touchdown in the fourth quarter. It's like, but what's his actual, his overall record? He's not, he has, it's not like winless
right.
in these games.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm with you. He's top five coach for sure.
All right, give me the list.
For sure.
Give me these questions.
All right, so here's five. First one. Does Patrick Mahomes need to have a huge game for the Chiefs to win? What do you think?
Do you think he had a huge game this last weekend?
No. So here's a stat. So he's averaged 239 passing yards in Kansas City's three playoff wins while tossing all of four touchdown passes. So he hasn't gone crazy. And they've been winning these games. I don't think he does. I really don't. I think their defense is good enough this year that he doesn't have to play. He doesn't have to have a 400-yard, four-touchdown game for them to win.
I think they got to score at least 24.
Yes. They were talking on the broadcast that the Niners-Lions game was going to be a race to 30. This one is probably going to be a race to, yeah, like 24. Because both of these teams have good defenses.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to throw for 300 yards. I just think he's got to continue to be, like, efficient. Like, I think his game against Buffalo was a monster game, but I don't think his stats were, like, actually that crazy.
Yes, no, he played outstanding versus the Bills. Let me pull up his stat line real quick. So he had – yeah, so he he went 17 for 23, 215 yards, two touchdowns. And he also ran six times for 19 yards, but all of his runs are always like the backbreaker.
Yeah. Like he only had 250. Yeah. I wouldn't say that was a crazy stat game, but I don't know. It's just kind of, what's your definition of monster game at that point?
Okay. Does he need to have over 300 yards?
I don't think they do. I think it's going to be kind of like a grimy game, or the Niners are going to blow him out. So.
All right.
Still holding out for that. I would love a Super Bowl where I don't have to worry about the outcome of the game.
Right. All right. Number two was, are there any more questions about Brock Purdy? This is more of a question for you. You watch him every game.
I think it kind of depends what he looks like in this game.
Yeah.
You know, because like we were sitting here in 2020, right before the pandemic, right before the world just lost its mind, the Niners and Chiefs were playing, and we had a handsome devil of a QB in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I probably would have said then, to be honest, I was a staunch Jimmy Garoppolo supporter. So I will put that out there. I was driving the bus for him, but I think we, as Niner fans, were sitting there like, oh, Jimmy's the guy. Like he's our franchise quarterback. And then after that game, I think it really opened eyes of, oh man, like the Niners like need to close that gap between their QB and a guy like Mahomes to win these games. Mm. So if it comes out, which is really unfair on Purdy, like I don't think he's going to all of a sudden, the Niners are going to be in the market for a QB, but if he comes out and he just looks awful, I think it is going to be – there's going to be some question marks. Like, he's not going to have 100% job security.
Well, I don't watch him every single day like you do. He certainly played well enough that I think definitely bring him back. I mean, he's only in his second year.
I mean, he's played like dog shit in these playoff games and then somehow clawed it back.
He played outstanding in this weekend. He had one bad throw.
Well, okay. I don't know. Like the throw to Ayuk wasn't a good throw.
Well, I mean, like really, I mean, I'm really talking about the interception. That second half he played really well.
He's a lot more like Jimmy than I think we really give. He's a lot more athletic. And I think he's able to move more than Jimmy, but he's going to throw a couple balls that defenses either will capitalize on and intercept, or Purdy will get away with it. He's
or it'll bounce off their face mask.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been an amazing play by that DB if he had. Because, you know, he didn't see that ball at all if he let it hit his face mask like that.
Yeah. And then the last three questions we can kind of just jumble together. The third one was, can the 49ers solve Kansas City's defense? Number four was, can Kyle Shanahan outwit Andy Reid? Which I think is a dumb question, because I think that's going to be more of Kyle Shanahan versus Spagnuolo. That's really the coaching matchup. But Kyle Shanahan's not coaching the defense. Andy Reid's not coaching the defense. And then five, will Travis Kelce remind us once again that he still has plenty left in the tank? Look, I think so far he's already done that.
Yep.
The past two games he's played out of his mind.
I kind of think if they win, he retires.
Honestly, he'd honestly have no reason to keep playing. He just broke Jerry Rice's all-time reception record for most receptions in the playoffs. And that'll be his third Super Bowl. He's 34. He's in Taylor Swift. Just travel around with her and have a nice life.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too – I mean, he's getting paid. He's gotten paid handsomely. I just feel like he's aged so much. Like, him last year, he was by far and away the best tight end in the league. This year, that might be kind of true, but he's just looked so much older. He's looked injured, honestly, this year.
Yeah, it almost looks like he's healthy now, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they're pulling – it's like he's playing every other down for him. Like, they're using him so sparingly.
Well, he's had 23 receptions, 262 yards, and 3 touchdowns this postseason. He's played so well.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if they win, then retire, take your 3 rings, go hang out with Taylor, and call it a day.
T-Swizzle? Yeah. Wouldn't that be so weird if we look next year and Jason Kelce is still in the league? And Travis retired.
Yeah, but he also retired, so.
I don't think he officially did.
He had said it. He told his teammates after the game that he was retiring.
Oh, I thought he came out after and was like, that's not accurate.
Maybe. I mean, I haven't seen any reports saying otherwise, but I also haven't been seeking them out.
I got you right here.
Jason
Kelce addresses NFL retirement reports and says he'll announce in a way that's definitive. Gotcha. And that was on January 17th.
Gotcha. Well, I feel like...
So you're the problem, dude. You're spreading rumors.
I feel like the shirtless scream was the perfect time to do it.
Hey, he looked like he was in pretty good shape, though.
You know?
For an O-lineman, he looks like he was in pretty good shape.
Can the 49ers solve Kansas City's defense? Look, I think if anybody's going to be able to do it, Kyle Shanahan probably could. But again, and this question bleeds into number four, the Kyle Shanahan, can he outwit Andy Reid? Which, I don't know. To me, that doesn't – I don't really like the question. It's Spagnuolo versus Shanahan. That's really going to be the matchup more than anything else, I think.
I think the biggest thing, so I'm looking back, the team that played Kansas City the best so far this playoffs was Buffalo. Obviously, the Niners don't have Josh Allen, but I'm looking back at a lot of their longest drives, and a lot of them coincidentally have a certain Josh Allen, and he's scrambling for first downs. If Purdy is able to continue to scramble effectively, like he did in the second half against Detroit, getting those big first downs, really freeing up those zones and those openings for him to really put those balls into the middle of the field to Debo, to Ayuk, finding Kittle more. I think there's a chance.
Well, look, I mean, the Raiders proved this year that your quarterback only needs to complete 9 passes and you can still beat the Chiefs.
Well, they got 2 pick sixes.
So there's 100-yard rusher for sure. That's That also plays into it.
I'm not really going to Vegas and gambling that. What are the odds that the Niners only complete 8 passes and still win this game?
Right. Look, the Chiefs run defense is not amazing. Buffalo proves that, and the 49ers really at the end of the day are a run team. And if they do what Baltimore refused to do, then I don't see why they couldn't win this game.
Yeah, they ran over 30 times against Detroit. And I will say, none of the teams that Kansas City has played has had Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, who just seems to score a touchdown as often as he shits. he just can't stop scoring.
I just can't stop. I can't help myself.
I can't stop doing it.
He's just so good.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
Can we just, he's easily the best running back in the league.
Yes.
And I think Pacheco will score. I think Pacheco will have a good game, but it's CMC, man.
It's going to be a fun game watching CMC and Pacheco. Two of the most fun running backs to, watch, play in and play out.
Yeah, when we talk about this question, right, Shanahan scheme and Reed scheme, I just really hope Shanahan doesn't get too cute. And they're just you know what? Kittle, Bosa, Trent Williams, all the guys are this team beat us 3 years ago. No, 4 years ago. Now, we need to get our revenge, and we're doing it. Run the ball 40 times.
Yeah, they need to do what the Chiefs did to the Ravens. They need to have the ball for 37 minutes.
Yeah, keep Mahomes. I want people to be so annoyed at how many times CBS is panning to Patrick Mahomes on the bench.
Yep.
That's what I want the story to be after the game.
You guys need to live on 8, 9, 10-minute drives if you can.
And it'll be oh my gosh, you know what? Taylor Swift actually was – they only cut to her a couple times because the Chiefs don't have the ball. That's why.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely coming down to SAC for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't like that we have two red teams, though.
Chiefs are wearing red. Niners are wearing white.
I know. I don't like that we have two red teams. I need some different colors in there. But whatever, I guess.
I'm not mad.
Well, yeah, your team's in the Super Bowl, so.
Oh, and one more thing. I'm keeping all the receipts. For those of the people, of the analysts that were saying that Levi's Stadium isn't a home field advantage, the Niners sure win a lot in Levi's Stadium. So let's just stop. There was a lot of Detroit fans there. I'll give them that.
Well, I mean, that was to be expected for a team who hasn't been in the playoffs in as long as they have been. You knew Detroit was going to travel well for that.
And wow, look at, man, that Baltimore, that home field advantage really sure worked out for them.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that was just awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll save all of the real Super Bowl talk for next week. Congratulations on having your team make the Super Bowl again. I wish I knew what that was like, but I'm the farthest from it at this point in time.
I'll tell you what it's like to see my team play a playoff game in Allegiant Stadium too.
Yes. Do tell with that, because that's not a part of my equation yet either. Although being at the Kings game last year probably made up for everything. So.
That's fair. Do you want to talk about just end with the Kings?
We can.
It's only fair. We've been shitting on them so much since they haven't been playing well.
Yeah, and they've started to play a little better. They had mentioned on one of the broadcasts the other day that the Kings have moved up to 18th in defensive efficiency, which shocked me. I was like, how bad is everybody else? But I mean, to be fair, they've been playing much better on defense recently. They've won 4 straight. Now, granted, the game against the Grizzlies was a lot closer than it should have been, considering the Grizzlies only had 8 players suited up for that game.
Oops.
But 27-18 right now. They're sitting right in the 5th spot. They're definitely not – they're much closer to 8th and 9th than they are 4th. The Clippers, Thunder, Nuggets, and Timberwolves all have 30 wins or more. The Kings only have 27. But playing much better as of late. It's nice to see that Kevin Huerter is playing much better. Harrison Barnes has just decided he doesn't want to be traded.
He's like the 3rd option now.
He really is. Sabonis with that 20-point, 26-rebound game was crazy. It's nice to see Keegan also getting time as, like, the number one defender, because he does seem like he really is stepping up and enjoying taking that on. But what you had pointed out about Fox a couple weeks ago about how he does seem to just, like, wait until the, like, end of the 3rd quarter, the 4th quarter to, like, start to play offense – it really is noticeable, and it is annoying.
Yeah, like, come on, man. And he's really not driving as much. I really think there's, like, an injury that we don't know about.
Maybe. Maybe. Who do they have next? They have the Heat tomorrow as of this recording. Then they play the Pacers again. Which, oh my God, I hate. I didn't realize how much I hate the Pacers, but I forgot. I totally forgot when we were at the game that Buddy Hield was on that team. And I just don't like Buddy Hield, and it was
– you don't like Buddy Hield?
Bro, you didn't like Buddy – nobody liked Buddy Hield.
Well, I didn't like Buddy when he dribbled. Like, as soon as he decided to not shoot the three and he wanted to dribble, that's when you don't like Buddy.
And I love Tyrese, but he was bothering me a little bit on the sideline as well.
Did you see his – he just came out and said something about the 65 minimum – rule, the 65 game minimum rule.
What'd he say?
He thinks it's ridiculous because he's probably going to miss out on it this year. Because he can only miss 3 more games from now until the end of the season to qualify for all NBA.
Yeah, no, look, that's. I think that's a perfectly fair rule to have.
I know. Like, he's complaining about it. It's like, dude, like, if you're missing 25% of the games, Do you deserve to be all NBA?
Yeah, no. Sorry. Yeah. Look, sure, it sucks that you have an injury, but look, like, it's basically penalizing other guys.
But he's always had an injury. Like, I don't think he's played more than 70 games in his career. Like, I mean, in a season, in his career.
I'd have to look at that. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, I'm looking.
You can take a peek at it right now. So they have the Heat next. Then they play the Pacers.
No, he hasn't played more than 60 games in a season. Well,
there you go. This road stretch that they're on, I mean, they've started 3-0. And when your team who's trying to make the playoffs and wants to get an upper seed in the playoffs – we always say a good sign of a good team is if you can go over 500 on the road. And so with every road trip, you just got to be a little bit over 500. And right now they've started 3-0 and they've got the Heat, Pacers, Bulls, and Cavs next, which, by the way, their schedule to go on a 7-game road trip and then quickly come back home for
two games
and then head back out for 3 more games. come back home for 1 and then go back out.
They have a really tough stretch.
They do.
And like, besides the home away stuff, like the teams that they're playing like all the best teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, so after they get through the road trip and then they play the Pistons, then they go Nuggets, Thunder, Suns, Nuggets, Spurs, and then Clippers. And then eventually they have another stretch where they have the Nuggets, Timberwolves, Bulls, and Lakers again. And then not too far after that, they get the Bucks too. So,
yep.
So
and the
not
Lakers.
Late for the Kings. But playing much better as of late, which is nice. Because the last thing about them, we were kind of pressing the panic button a little bit.
I mean, they're still giving up big leads. Like, I love how they're getting up to big leads, but like that Dallas game, they were up big.
Yeah.
Gave up Memphis. They were up big and gave up a big lead. Like, can they just put teams away, please? Like,
close the game out.
Oh, Atlanta. Atlanta, they went up really big.
Yep.
And that game got tight. But they should beat Miami. They should beat Indiana, really. They should beat Chicago. Cleveland will be a tough one. They're playing a lot better this year. They should beat Detroit. Honestly, they should beat Denver at home.
Well, if they would have made their free throws against the Pacers a couple of days ago, they would have beaten the Pacers by like 50.
What was that game? Was that
that was the game that
– No, yeah. Golden State when Herter got fouled and missed both free throws.
Yeah. Yes, at the very end, yeah.
Again, do we have to keep saying this every podcast? They just need like a two-hour session, the entire team shooting free throws at a different hoop.
I know. The Kings, they lost by 5 against the Pacers, and they were 18 for 32 at the free throw line. That's just awful. I could put Bree at the free throw line right now, and she could probably go 18 for 32.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, she wouldn't.
I'm taking the under on that one.
I am too. But Natalie could. For sure, Natalie could. Easily.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Natalie played basketball for a long time.
Do you think you could shoot 18 and 32 from the free throw line?
Easily.
Oh. What do you want to put on it?
I will bet you $200.
No, I don't want your money. You go do it. Take a video of it. If you don't get it, you have to wear a Chiefs jersey for the Super Bowl.
That would be fair, honestly. Fair. In no way, shape, or form would I not go better than 18 for 32.
I mean, it's just over 50%.
Yeah, not a chance. Not a chance.
Like in high school, I shot like, I think 70%.
Yeah. From the free throw line.
And I was bad.
We had an all free throw team on one of the teams that I played for. I was on that team.
Well, that's where you got all your points, so that makes sense.
That's not true at all. But,
you know, Jason was good for a 1 for 2 from the line.
Whatever. Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the Super Bowl more than I will. Sorry, all Raider fans. I know I'm there with you. But congrats, Niner fans. I hope you beat the doors off of the Chiefs on February 11th.
Dude, I'm freaking out. We'll talk about it in the next pod, but I'm freaking out if they lose.
Yep. So we'll have plenty. You have 2 weeks to mull it over.
Probably won't help. Probably make it worse.
It probably will make it worse. So we'll check in on Sam next week. Until then, everybody have a great week. Have a good weekend, and we will see you all very soon.
See you.